Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is All of It. I'm Allison Stewart. To some, Dr. J. Marion Sims is seen as a hero to women's medicine. There are statues dedicated to the so-called father of modern gynecology in South Carolina and Pennsylvania, until recently in New York City, where a statue was removed from Central Park. You see, Dr. Sims earned this title by performing repeated experimental surgeries without anesthesia on enslaved women, women he owned. In her new play, Behind the Sheet, playwright Charlie Yvonne Simpson tells the forgotten story of these enslaved women in America's medical history. It's a work of fiction, but it is heavily researched and inspired by the life and experimentation of Dr. Sims. As the play starts, we meet Philomena, who's heavily pregnant, assisting her owner, Dr. George Barry, as he tries to find a surgical way to heal women who develop fistulas after long and difficult labors. The play follows Philomena's journey from willing and hopeful assistant of Dr. Barry's to the painful realizations of the implications of his work. And it shows the brutal cultural roles and realities of the mid-1800s in America. Behind the Sheet is playing at the Ensemble Studio Theater, and it has just been extended, announced this morning, through February 17th. Charlie, welcome to the studio.
Hi, thank you for having me.
You must be excited that it's being extended.
Yeah, it's crazy. You know, this is my first off-Broadway show, and to see that people really want it and want to see it. And you know, every time I talk with someone else, they're like, oh, it needs to be extended. It needs to go here, go there. It's sort of blowing my mind a little bit.
People are really interested in it. I saw it last Saturday, and there was a talk back after with a gynecologist and with a worker who works with the UN, a healthcare worker, a public health advocate, I should say. And it was interesting because almost everybody stayed.
Yeah, and that has been, we've had three talkbacks, and pretty much every talkback, it's something like 80, 90% of the audience stays to listen to, you know, usually we have a historian, we have scientists, and then we've actually, the last two times have been joined by Naomi Lorraine, who plays Philomena in the play.
And this interesting to discover about her is she went to Yale, and she has she studied modern medicine. She studied medicine as well as the arts.
Yes, she did. And she tells this lovely story where she she's also a playwright herself, and she was like, oh, I want to write a play about Sims. And then she looked it up and she saw that I was doing it. So this lovely little, you know, lovely little kismet thing where she gets to be in the play.
Now, where did you first hear about Dr. Sims?
If I remember correctly, it was on Gawker, like years ago, R.I.P. Gawker. And they had an article about the statue that was along the perimeter of Central Park, because we were, as a country, we were talking about statues in that moment. And it was sort of highlighting the fact that we here in New York City think that we're separated from that, and actually we weren't. And so it was this article about the statue of J. Marion Sims. And I was like, who is this person? And I sort of went down a Google rabbit hole and was sort of stunned that I'd never heard of him or his work or the women that he worked on.
After you did the research about him, why do you think his memory and the legend of him went untarnished for so long?
I think for several reasons. One, we've sort of deemed him the father of American gynecology, and we don't talk about gynecology very often. Women's health, you know, we're beginning to talk about it more now, but it's not something that I feel like I grew up feeling like I had a good sense of that. If I wanted to sort of figure out what was going on with my body, you know, I had to do the research by myself. There was no Dateline talking about it. And so I think part of it is that. And the other part is that, you know, he was working on enslaved Black women, and we don't have their voices. He got to write an autobiography. He got to be the president of the American Medical Association. These women did not. I feel like what I've noticed recently is that the story has been coming out more as we've been talking more about Black maternal mortality rates, and how basically the intersection of race and gender and medicine is affecting Black women. And so I've seen their story begin to come out more as I've been writing this play. But I think it's that intersection right there.
And the play is mostly about these women and their lives and their feelings and their emotions and what they're going through. Which is one of the reasons I understand that you decided to go fictional. Yeah. You have to go fictional because we don't know.
That's that was really important to me. It's a question I get often. I didn't want to put words in the mouths of the three women whose names we know, Anarcha, Betsy, and Lucy. I wasn't personally comfortable with that. As much as I wanted to create a story, create a play that began to highlight what they may have experienced. And so I chose to stay fictional and change the names. And also, you know, in the case of Sims, you know, most, you know, a lot of the things in the play are real, like all the research, especially about the medical aspect is all real. But, you know, this history of racism affecting scientific experimentation is something that we all know. We know Henrietta Lacks, we know all these, you know, Tuskegee Airmen, all of these things that are coming out. It seemed to me that I really wanted to have the freedom to highlight that history and not be pegged down by the words we had or we did not have.
My guest is Charlie Yvonne Simpson. We're talking about her play Behind the Sheet. You obviously did a ton of research for this. And some of the details, I found it really interesting that you don't shy away from the medical details, from the difficulty of it, from describing what the surgery was, talking about women's bodies, mm-hmm. that these women sometimes weren't able to control their bladders because of these fistulas. Mm-hmm. Why was that important to you to be, and graphic's not quite the right word, but to be just very clear and honest about this?
Because these experiments were painful. And these women had to deal with that pain over and over and over again. But also the experience of having a fistula is incredibly painful. And I think, you know, one of the things that is highlighted in the play and, you know, is a part of our history and even a part of our present is that, you know, there's a belief that Black people don't feel pain the same way. It was certainly a belief back then. And then there was a study a few years ago done by the University of Virginia that showed that there are doctors, young doctors in medical school who still believe that.
Well, we know where they're going to medical school now and what their yearbooks look like.
Right, you know, right. Well, yes. You know, so this is not a new idea. And unfortunately, it still stays. And it was important for me that anyone sitting in that audience couldn't say, well, was it really that painful? Did they really need anesthesia?
Did they really have 30 surgeries?
Right.
Which in some case, some of these women had
yes.
up to 30 surgeries
Anarcha
on them.
Anarcha had 30 before he figured out a way to close her fistula. I didn't want to shy away from that at all because it felt important to be like, no, this was painful. These women had to hold each other down because it was so painful. And we can't ignore that.
There's also this dichotomy of this man did spend his life trying to figure out how on women's health
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
in the 19th century. And there are things that gynecologists use today
yep.
that he created the speculum,
the
right?
The speculum. Mm-hmm. You know, and that was sort of the reason kind of when I went down the rabbit hole years ago about him. I was like, why don't I know about you? Like, I literally go to the gynecologist and you were using a tool that you came up with. Mm-hmm. You know, we've, of course, hopefully have changed a little bit about it. But, you know, and you can't, you know, I can't deny that by him taking up this work, by him opening a women's hospital here in the New York City, you know, that he was integral to that field and to my life as a woman. And I think that's the hard part is that holding that while also holding on to the fact that he sort of was able to take that step forward on the backs of Black women.
As the show was workshopping, what were some of the changes that you made or things that you realized that maybe you wrote on the page that were much more effective on stage than you thought they would be?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I mean, I I think there was always a delicate balance between how much science to have in it, how much medical talk. It is a Sloan Foundation commission, which is, you know, is your commission to write about science. So there has to be a little bit of science in there. You know, but there's always a question of how much is too much, how much is this, you know. And I talk about how there's a scene where I mentioned the fact that lead sutures were used at
He says it very, casually. I'm going to try lead this time on this woman.
Exactly. And I remember the first time we had an audience, and the first time the audience was like, and it occurred to me, I was like, oh, right, we know what lead is. We know that that's bad. But that was a line that I considered cutting because I was like, is this too much science? Not realizing the effect that it would have. And so, you know, there were minor changes like that throughout. How much do we need? How much don't we need? You know, and then... you know, how visual certain things. I think in my script, I have a lot more allusions to things being done in silhouette than we actually do in the play. And then, you know, there are things that, you know, in the play, it says, you know, the doctor examines Philomena or something. And you know, the way that Colette Robert, the director, and the actors have sort of created these scenes, it's like they're sometimes longer than we imagined. They're sometimes actually very subtle, but, you know, very powerful in their subtlety. So the workshop process really allowed us to sort of play with that. And we were playing up until the very first performance of the play.
It is interesting. There are so many subtleties because this group of women on stage, all of whom this doctor is experimenting on, he's, you know, kind of using them like lab animals to for this greater purpose, he says, which he really means he's doing it for white women ultimately, and also for slave owners to make sure their property can work, right? Mm-hmm. That's part of the story too. But the actresses, just the way they walk, because you know they're in pain or they have some sort of sore. And it's just, it's very, it's just subtle but direct.
Yeah. And I mean, that's part of it, is that we didn't want, you know, we wanted to be as truthful as we could be, being a group of women who haven't experienced that, you know, but wanting to make sure that we couldn't forget, right? You can't forget when you're watching the play that even when they're having these wonderful, joyful moments that they're in pain.
My guest is Charlie Yvonne Simpson. The name of the play is Behind the Sheet. You mentioned joy because there are a couple of really laugh-out-loud moments. There's some really good side eye given by one of your actresses.
Yes,
it's the master of the side eye.
Yes.
What about that balance? I've asked people this question a lot because I just find that so amazing that people can find the balance between the really difficult and then laughter.
Yeah. I mean, I think part of it is selfish. When I'm going through a hard moment, all I want to do is laugh. And so, you know, I certainly have put that into the play, that I think these are women who, you know, who regardless of, you know, like forget for the fact that they have fistulas, they are enslaved, right? So this is a period of time that, you know, we know or can imagine how difficult that was. And I think for me personally, you know, I have to think about my ancestors, some of whom were slaves, and I have to imagine the fact that they survived by finding those moments of joy and laughter and love, and that they found the ways to have that despite their circumstances. And, you know, so that's certainly in the play, too. And I will say after the talk back on Saturday, the woman who's the public health advocate came up to me and said, you know, I'm so happy you had that in the play. When we are talking about women with fistulas, even now, people tend to believe that they're ostracized, that no one loves them, that they don't have these connections. And she says, no, the heartbreaking thing is that they do. Like, they have these people that love them, and they have these moments of joy, and it's just about trying to make it that they're not sitting in pain that entire time. And so finding that balance in the play, I think, was really important. Also for the audience, it's a lot, and you know, we have to be able to release. And so if we can release in a laugh, then great.
The name of the play is Behind the Sheet, playing at the Ensemble Studio Theater, has now been extended to February 17th. Charlie Yvonne Simpson, thank you so much for coming, and congratulations. You got a whole other set of plays going on too. We'll have to have you.
Yes.
It's been a big year.
Yes, it is. Thank you so much.
That is our show. Thank you so much for listening to All of It. All of It is produced by Megan Ryan, Rosie Guerin, Catherine Millsop, Andres O'Hara, Ursula Summer, Simon Close, and Jordan Lauf. Matt Miranda is our engineer, and Luscious Jackson does our theme music. You can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at All of It WNYC, and of course, join us weekdays at at noon right here on WNYC. I'm Allison Stewart. Until next time, we'll see you.